Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to The Ugly Radio on the Podmoth Network, a lo-fi sci-fi audio theater anthology series made for late nights and strong drinks. Join us monthly as we broadcast a pirate signal across time and space, featuring stories, songs, and frequencies from a rotating list of voice actors, writers, storytellers, and musicians. If you're looking for high-quality science fiction, skin-crawling horror, and other genre fiction, listen to The Ugly Radio on the Pod Moth Network, now available wherever you get your podcasts. The Ugly Radio. See you in the void.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Jen.
And we're the hosts of the What the Fuck Is That podcast.
Have you ever wondered, what the fuck is that? Well, we found the podcast that dives deep into the mysterious and the unexplained.
Picture this: gripping storytelling, unexpected twists, with a touch of humor just to keep you on the edge of your seat. All of that and more on the What the Fuck Is That podcast, your go-to destination for chilling true crime, spine-tingling mysteries, and paranormal wonders.
So if you're ready to unravel the unknown, search for WTF Is That podcast on Spotify and hit that follow button.
Trust us, you won't want to miss a single spine-chilling episode. Subscribe now and join the mysterious journey. Bye!
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us, friends. Declan, yes, how are you today?
Good. Always good to hang out with you, Mom.
Yes. Hanging out with you.
And all our listeners. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Our listeners that want to be friends. Hi, friends. What are you going to be telling us about today, Declan?
I am going to be talking about Timothy Blackburn and one of the most, not prolific, but the largest heist in Las Vegas history.
Oh,
I don't know if
I
it's
love
the
a good
largest,
heist,
but it's one of the largest heists.
Okay, cool.
What about you? What are you going to be telling us about today?
I'm going to be telling you about a haunted theater, specifically one from London, England. And that is why I brought the cocktail that I did, which is the London Lemonade. So,
okay.
This cocktail is 2 ounces of gin, 4 ounces of lemonade, garnished with a lemon wheel. Pretty basic. Add your stuff and ice into a glass, stir it up. Garnish, drink it. Okay. Are you ready for this? This lemonade-y drink.
Did you see fucking Frank in the background?
I see Frank in the background now.
He jumped and like tried to catch a fly. He made it like 3 feet high on the jump. That was crazy.
Wow. That's pretty good for a chunky monkey like him.
He was very uncoordinated. Okay, yeah, let's give it a try. Sorry.
London lemonade. Gin and lemonade, not complicated.
Sounds like a Snoop Dogg song.
Right?
Sipping on gin and juice.
I think the ratio's off.
I think a homemade lemonade would be better.
Probably.
Because I use just the Simply Lemonade, which is
so did I
the go-to, but
it's the best store-bought lemonade.
Yeah, it's just got, it's more sweet than I think is required for this drink. I think if you did like your own lemonade with more lemon juice than sugar, then
yeah.
Because I texted you about this, but I've
yes.
made my own little lemonade concentrate, basically, where it's just like a simple syrup, but instead of water, you use lemon juice.
Yeah.
And then you could just dump it in however much lemonade you want. If you want right. a whole pitcher, make enough for the pitcher. If you just want a glass every now and then it's pretty good. But
pretty tasty. I like homemade lemonade.
Would be better.
Yeah, homemade lemonade is better. But Simply Lemonade is the best store-bought, in my opinion.
It is good.
It's...
Their alcohol stuff tastes way different, though. Don't get the Simply Spiked. That stuff's nasty. No.
Agreed. Yeah. I'm not a fan of it.
I don't know why, like, whenever they do, like, the same with the Mountain Dew. When they did the Spiked Mountain Dew, it tastes nothing like real Mountain Dew. It's like zero sugar Mountain Dew for some reason. It's like, why fuck up the recipe?
Maybe because they're trying to be calorie conscious for people. So they're doing zero sugar. Well, yeah. So you skimp on the sugar because you're making up for it in the alcohol.
Make it taste good.
Agreed. You know, just go for it.
You know, you're not drinking water. It's alcohol. It's an alcoholic beverage that has sugar in it. So just make it taste good. Just make it taste good.
I'm not totally impressed with this drink. I think
it's okay.
Gin and lemonade are kind of a weird combination because the gin is bitter, but not, I don't know. I mean, I'll drink it, but I don't love it.
This is just something you make when all you have is gin and
agreed.
You want to get drunk.
Yeah.
It's like, mix it with any juice.
I would change the ratio, though. I would cut down the amount of lemonade.
Really?
Yeah, because I did the recommended 2 ounces of gin and 4 ounces of lemonade, and all I taste is, it just tastes like a kind of a bitter lemonade. It doesn't taste like gin at all. And I don't feel it. It just, meh. It's average.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think if you did like strawberry lemonade or something, might be better.
That might be better. Yeah. Okay. Let's get on to my haunted theater.
Okay.
The theater is the Theater Royal, Drury Lane. It's often just referred to as Drury Lane, which I don't know if people other than me find it really hard to say that name, but I think saying the name Drury Lane is difficult. Anyway.
How's it spelled?
D-R-U-R-Y. Yeah.
Drury?
Brewery. Like brewery, but with a D, I would say. So
that's
Drury.
Confusing. I don't like
yes. that. The back of the building sits on Drury Lane in London. That's why it's called Drury Lane. For centuries, this location has been a theater. In fact, there have been 4 different buildings at the same site that were all theaters. This is the oldest operating theater in London. The first theater was built at the location back in 1663, a very, very long time ago. It was known as Theatre Royal in Bridges Street because the front side of the building is on Bridges Street. The back side of the building is on Drury Lane. So why it's changed from Bridges Street to Drury Lane, and the name of this of Bridges Street has changed a couple of times, so maybe that's why. I don't know. But back then, the first theater, it was the Theater Royal in Bridges Street was the name.
So that's easier to say than Drury Lane.
Exactly.
Drury. I don't like that word.
I know. I told you. It's terrible.
Like, hurts my brain to say it.
Yep. During the next few years of the original theater had a few renovations, and since it was not in the center of town, it survived the Great London Fire that occurred in 1666. Unfortunately, though, it did succumb to a fire a few years later in 1672. But construction on a replacement theater didn't take long, and the second theater was completed in 1674. With the newly constructed theater also came a new name. It was now called Theatre Royal in Drury Lane. The second theater lasted for almost 120 years until it was purposely demolished so a bigger and better theater could be built. Always go bigger and better. The third theater was finished in 1794, but sadly only managed to stay open for 15 years before it also burned down.
What the fuck are they doing to burn the... Is it arson or just people smoking and falling asleep?
Funny that you would say that, because my next line is to remember that at the time, electricity wasn't a thing.
Oh, so people falling asleep with candles and shit like that.
Lighting is done by candles and lamps and lanterns and basically fire. So, you know, lighting sources being fire can get out of control and then it burns down. I don't think it was
so paranoid if I had to see by candlelight every for real night. Like, if you need to take a piss in the middle of the night, you just have to light it. You have to get up. You have to light your candle.
Yeah.
Walk up to the bathroom with the candle in your hand.
Right.
Like, there's no night lights. There's no.
Nope.
I mean,
it's not like you got a lot of street lights lighting up your bathroom.
And like the street lights, they had to be hand lit. So they were like,
right,
lanterns basically. Like,
however, it's not, I'm betting that you didn't have an indoor bathroom, so you probably just peed in a jug on the side of the bed, so you might not need a light for that.
I don't know,
it's icky. I appreciate electric lighting, thank you very much. The fourth and current building opened in 1812. It has gone through a few renovations and updates, of course, especially over the last few years. But I'm not here to just tell you about an old building and how many times it burned down, because that's boring. Since this is such an old building with a lot of history in it, not only the building, but also the land it occupies.
Can you see?
Yes, I see.
The blinds are closed right now, and she's standing on like a half inch of the little windowsill, just trying to get a look outside. But distract everybody. The cats are being very active today.
It's just sad that we don't do video so people could watch the ridiculousness of the cats that's going on right now.
It might be coming back once I get my new apartment figured out.
Okay.
Stay tuned. But
so back to the building, not just the building, but of course the land that it occupies, because it's such a long history with it. Of course, it's all rumored to be haunted. Ghosts of actors from prior years have been seen walking through the theater. It is a sign of good luck to both the actors and the player performance if a ghost is spotted. So if you're working in a place that has ghosts, it's better to take the sighting of a ghost as a good omen than a bad omen, because you're going to see the ghost. You might as well put a positive spin on it, right?
Depends on the ghost, though, honestly.
True.
The ghost is throwing pint glasses at you.
Yeah.
And shit, it might be a bad ghost, but if it just plays like a certain song on the jukebox, then
there's cool ghost. I didn't see any like malicious intent stories regarding these ghosts. They all seem to be fairly polite. I mean, with their ghostly activity. One of the ghosts wasn't polite before he died, but we'll get to that. Some of the ghosts
after?
No, he's fine after, but he did some not nice stuff when he was alive. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
I'm confused.
It's okay. Four of the previous actors that are said to have been seen as ghosts in the theater are Dan Leno, Joseph Grimaldi, John Buckstone, and Charles Macklin. They were all actors who performed at the theater, but from different eras. So it's not like they were all together and now they're all hanging out there in the afterlife. John Buckstone was not only an actor, but was also the manager of the theater at one time. His ghost has been seen in recent years standing in the wings while actors are on stage. Although he doesn't appear often, he usually shows up when there's comedies that are on stage. So he likes comedies and he's going to hang out if there's a comedy, but not necessarily for like a musical or anything else.
If I was a ghost, I'd want to haunt a place where I could watch comedy.
Same.
Comedy skits, comedy movies, comedy stand-up.
Yep. Yeah. That would be my preference too. Dan Leno was the stage name for George Galvin. He was a comedian and musical theater actor and was first seen in his ghost was first seen in the early 1900s hanging around the dressing rooms. So, you know, he's just wandering around. His ghost has also been rumored to be accompanied by the scent of lavender. I don't know why.
Sound like an old lady.
Yeah, apparently he liked old lady scent. I don't know. Mm. Okay. Another commonly seen ghost is that of actor Joseph Grimaldi. He was a British actor who was the most popular English entertainer of his era. His ghost is a helpful ghost, known for guiding nervous living actors around the stage. So he shows up when one of the actual live actors are like freaking out and he's like, hey, I'll just show you around kind of thing. So he's a nice guy.
That would make me way more nervous.
For real. Like, yeah.
There's spirits watching me do this performance that I barely remember the words to.
Right. And not bad enough that I'm in one, the oldest theater known to be functioning in London. That's a big deal. And now I've got live people staring at me, but now I also have ghosts staring at me. Yes.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. Another notorious ghost actor is that of Charles Macklin. He was an Irish actor who performed frequently at this theater. He's the one that I mentioned was fine after he died and as a ghost, but was not, did some stuff before he died. This is what he did.
Okay. How do they know? Are you going to explain how they know it's Charlie Macklin?
No, I don't know. But apparently the people, maybe because they look like
it. Looks like it. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's close enough then. As far as ghost.
That would be my guess.
Terms go.
Yep. He has a very exciting backstory. In 1735, he gained some notoriety for accidentally killing another actor who's named Thomas Hallam.
Accidentally.
The two were apparently arguing over a wig that they used in the play that they were doing. A wig, of all things. I don't know why you would argue over that, but whatever. Apparently they were...
Maybe it was a really nice wig.
Maybe. During the argument, Macklin stabbed Hallam in the eye with a cane.
Nothing about that sounds accidental to me.
So the cane went through
the Ninja Hallam's... Turtle sword canes? Is that what?
No.
How do you stab someone with a cane? That doesn't make any sense.
Well,
it's a blunt object.
It was a cane that he, we'll get to that. The cane went through Hallam's eye and into his brain, and he died a day later. Macklin was trying
later,
a die. Yes, it wasn't
brain.
An instant
Holy
death. He
shit.
Died a day later.
He got a express lobotomy from
yes,
a cane. That's
essentially
crazy.
Macklin was tried for murder. He defended himself at the trial and testified that what happened was accidental because he was holding his cane. He thrust it towards the other guy, who turned his face into the handle, and it went into his eye and then into his brain, and that's how he died. So it wasn't intentional.
Guy stabbed himself with the cane. How did he?
Yes. I know.
I can't understand how you stab someone with a cane. A cane has a big flat bottom on it.
I'm guessing maybe it was the handle. Yeah. I don't know.
The handle.
Or he was holding it and he held it up and the guy turned. I don't know. Either way, it went into his eye and then into his brain and he died. But instead of being convicted of murder, he was convicted of manslaughter. As the story goes, after his release from prison, he went back to acting in the Drury Lane Theater, but the audience didn't receive him well. They didn't appreciate that he got out of prison under manslaughter after killing the other guy. They were like, yeah, we don't like him so much.
Got to separate the art from the artist.
I guess, but they didn't do that. Macklin's ghost often appears backstage in the corridor where the altercation with Hallam took place. Interestingly enough, the ghost of Macklin's victim has never been reported in the theater. So even though he died from a violent altercation.
There's his ghost waiting back there with the cane.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's back there with the cane and that's why they're like, oh, that's Macklin. Because he killed that one guy with a... Yeah.
I want to see the cane that he's working with. I'm picturing like a Master Splinter cane. Like from Ninja Turtles, where it's a sword in the end part of the cane.
I doubt it.
How do you stab someone? I can't get my head around that. I can't.
I don't know.
Fathom how you stab someone with a cane.
He did. The guy died.
I'm imagining like the cane with the tennis balls on the bottom that like grannies have.
I doubt there were tennis balls on the bottom of it. But maybe if there had been a tennis ball on the bottom, he wouldn't have killed the guy.
There you go, folks. Put the tennis balls on the bottom of your cane.
Exactly. You don't kill anybody. So you don't stab anybody in the eye as they turn into your cane and stab themselves on your cane.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either. It has to be a knife. Just turning your head isn't enough energy to go into your brain.
Brain, yeah.
That sounds like a murder, and it sounds like he didn't use his cane. It sounds like he's like a sword or something.
I don't know.
Whatever.
It's trippy. The most famous of the ghosts was not an actor, though. Maybe this is a theater after all. So description of the ghost doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't an actor. Because the ghost that's most famous is known as the Man in Gray. Because his appearance is that of an 18th century nobleman. He is seen with a powdered hair under a tricorn hat, wearing a suit jacket, cape, riding boots, and carrying a sword.
Is that the guy who killed the person with the cane? The sword?
Nope.
The ghost came into aid with the guy with the cane and replaced his cane with a sword?
Maybe. I don't know. It's believed this is the ghost of a man whose skeletal remains were found inside of a wall in 1848. He apparently died from a stabbing as well. So there's a lot of stabby stab going on in this theater, essentially.
That's what happens in UK. People get stabbed, though.
That's true. So they do stabbings. They're not getting shot. But... And back in the 1700s and 1800s, you know, there's...
They just found this dude's remains in the wall, though?
Like, yeah. His
like a skeleton. A Templar? A Knight's Templar?
I don't know.
Oh.
They found him in a wall, like a section that had been walled up, and they opened it up, and they were like, holy shit, there's a skeleton in here. And it looks like he was stabbed to death. They don't know who he was. They don't know when he died. They don't know anything. So they just call him the Man in Gray.
I hear that shit like that is an issue with like Rome. Like people, they'll try and build a new store or like build a new house or something. And as soon as they break ground, they find like a person's house that was just covered over with dirt to, so they can build more. And it's like,
right,
oh, we have to halt all construction because this is a historical site now.
Right.
And it's just like people buy a property and it's like, oh, actually there's one pottery piece down here. So we have to excavate your whole shit for a whole year.
Yeah. Like, that'd be annoying.
Super annoying.
So this man in gray has been seen walking through the theater and ending his walk at the location where his skeleton was found. So he'll be walking around like the seats and stuff and wander his way back to where they, the area where he had been walled up inside of the wall. But just because he's dressed like that, I mean, it's a theater. People are dressed up all the time. So if he was an actor or he wasn't, nobody knows. They don't know who he is, though. So I don't know. Ghosts aren't the only strange things reported at the theater. Actors have reported dysfunctions with electrical equipment like TVs. A few years ago, two actors were in a dressing room and they started discussing the ghosts of the theater. You know, just chatting about, hey, did you know there were ghosts here? Oh, that's cool. Let's tell me about it. At the time that they were discussing the topic, the channel on the TV that was playing in the room changed on its own. They don't know why. They don't know how. They changed the channel back to what it was on before and walked away. But as soon as they started talking about the ghost again, the channel changed again.
So it's really wanted to watch Golden Girls.
Could be. There wasn't a remote for the TV. So they couldn't explain what was going on with the channel changing. But apparently either the ghost was like, some ghost was like, hey, hey, you're talking about ghosts. I'm right here. Or didn't want them talking about the ghosts. I don't know. The stories are common and regular at Drury Lane. And it seems that almost everyone who has worked at the theater has at least one story of their own in which some type of strange or ghostly thing has happened. So, I think it'd be fun to go there and see a play and be cool.
I think, so I hear, I think it's a Comedy Store down in California that used to be owned by like the mob or something like that.
And oh, yeah.
There's a ton of ghost stories that come out of that. So maybe we could go see that.
For sure.
Easier than going to London and seeing this, but
absolutely. We might as well make multiple trips. Let's do some international ghost stuff too.
Could you check out Fukushima like last week?
No, thank you. I don't need to go there.
There's no, like, Japan is so small. I can't imagine the devastation that would have caused. Go check out last week's story if you haven't listened to
right.
that.
We talk about tsunamis and earthquakes and ghosts.
And radiation.
Yeeks.
Okay, let's talk about Timothy Blackburn.
Yes.
So Timothy Lee Blackburn's life prior to the infamous 1998 Las Vegas bank robbery remains largely undocumented in public records. However, available information indicates that he was a 25-year-old resident of Las Vegas, Nevada. At the time of the crime, he was married to Sophia Lim. And together they had two young daughters, Tiana and Tiara.
No.
Yeah.
Were they twins?
I don't know that, but.
That's the only, in my mind, the only explanation.
But you need much different names to.
For sure.
Like, not get them confused.
For sure. I know. I know a pair of I know some twins, and one is named Diane, and the other one is named Diana.
Oh my God, that's not good. That
horrid. Who does that?
At least
to themselves.
Tiara. They like that's the same name, but switching out the N and the R.
Right. Like, it's a little more different.
Diana. I feel like that's awful. Thing one and thing two.
Yeah. Too close. Too close.
It's like you go to Disney World, Diane and Diana.
Nope.
So reports suggest that Blackburn and his accomplice, Robert Bates, lacked steady employment for 2 years leading up to their arrest. Late at night, Blackburn and Bates approached three janitorial workers outside the Las Vegas Cash Vault facility. Posing as armed robbers, which I don't know how you pose as armed robbers. You just are an armed robber.
You are an armed robber.
You don't pose as that. You just are.
Oh.
They kidnap.
So you could pose as an armed robber and not have a legit firearm.
You just have a squirt gun.
Or a weapon. Yeah. That would be posing.
Well, they did not, because they kidnapped all three at gunpoint and forced them inside the building. Using the janitors as human shields, they gained entry into the cash vault. Once inside, they encountered a security guard, and during a confrontation, one of the robbers shot and wounded the guards. So they weren't posing as armed gunmen. They were armed gunmen. That's not posing.
No.
So the guard ended up surviving. And the janitors were restrained, but not physically harmed. So once they got inside, they locked up the janitors. They shot the security guard in the... I think they shot him in a bulletproof vest. So he was...
Okay.
He still got shot, but not lethal. And it...
Right.
I hear that shit knocks your ass down when you get shot with that. But
good thing that he was wearing a vest.
They accessed the ATM vaults and managed to steal approximately $1.1 million in cash in the 1990s. So,
that's a load of money.
Most of it was untraceable, non-sequential bills because it was all getting set.
ATM.
Like, yeah, it was getting ready to go into the ATMs. So,
awesome.
They nabbed the good one. That's like hitting the Union
jackpot.
What's it called? The Federal Reserve. It's like similar to that, I feel, because that's all the cash that's getting ready to go into ATMs. Like,
yeah, nice.
So Blackburn and Bates fled the scene successfully for a time. They were in the wind, but law enforcement quickly identified them and suspects as tracking them down. Both men were arrested within weeks, and at the time of their arrest, Blackburn had begun plotting an escape with the help of his wife, Sophia. She visited him frequently in jail under the guise of an innocent spousal support.
Oh.
But she was smuggling tools in.
Nice! Okay, we got a heist and an escape. Cool! Yep. We got a twofer.
So, Sophia smuggled in an electric screwdriver, and Blackburn was able to remove the panels of plexiglass partition from the jail's visitation area. During one visit, she also brought him a gun.
Where?
It doesn't say where.
Come on.
I get
a screwdriver. I couldn't envision that. I cannot envision.
Maybe it's a little Derringer, like the pocket pistols that are like smaller than your hand.
Yeah.
That's still enough to kill somebody.
Yeah.
It doesn't say what type of gun. I couldn't find that information out. But
it's not a Golden Eagle or whatever it is.
Desert Eagle.
Desert Eagle, yeah. Not that.
Did not get. It doesn't say what kind, but. He did have a gun in his possession when he escaped. And he used this opportunity to escape. Shots were exchanged with jail officers. So, he took the plexiglass off of like the little phone call areas where they visit.
Visitation.
Like, yeah, he took the plexiglass off of one of those things with the screwdriver. So he just hopped out he's clearly in a jumpsuit or whatever and running with a gun, just
okay,
shooting at hostages.
All right.
Officers.
What the fuck is going on in this visitation room that they don't notice that?
I don't know.
You can't.
It's extremely hard to find information on this story.
There's at least two screws.
So
yeah. There's probably four at least.
Well, I'm imagining like when you're taking screws out of something, like you can put them just like two threads. So it looks like they're tied in, but you just.
So he'd been working those screws out for a little while.
That's what he did. Like that's kind of what I'm imagining.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming he took the screws out and then just hand tightened them so that he could. Pop,
get out
pop,
quick
pop, pop
another day. Okay.
Window.
All right. I was thinking he was like, it took him like a long ass time to unscrew these screws and they're not paying attention.
Electric screwdriver too. I don't know what that fucking means in the 90s. I don't think they had electric screwdrivers in the 90s.
Yeah.
I think it was just, that's just a drill, but
drill
would be too loud.
Smaller.
So.
Yeah. And how's she smuggling in a drill?
Maybe she got a big coochie. I don't know.
Maybe.
So, Timothy and his family were located in an apartment building by FBI agents. Fearing the worst, Timothy barricaded his room and took his own family hostage.
Oh, Jesus.
He demanded to speak with the FBI agent that originally arrested him. However, the FBI agent that arrested him had no training in hostage negotiation. So this dude is just like, this was a 3-hour standoff between Timothy Blackburn and the police, the Las Vegas police and FBI. So they fly this dude out. He might have been in the area already, but they get him over to the thing because they're like, he demanded to speak with the dude that arrested him. He's not a hostage negotiator. So he's just trying to talk to the dude on the phone.
Muddle his way through. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But while he was on the phone with Timothy, one of the SWAT members on the scene was sneaking around back and accidentally shot his shotgun in the back of the apartment complex.
Oh,
and Timothy thought that that accidental shot was the FBI entering the building.
Yeah.
So he panicked and he told the FBI agent he was on the phone with that he wasn't going to let another man raise his daughters and turn the gun on his daughters and wife before himself.
No.
Yeah.
No. I did not see that happening.
Yeah. From biggest heist in Vegas to escaping prison and then. Total family
annihilating. Yeah. Ugh, what a douche.
Yeah. Just imagine, like, I think about, like, when I was researching this story, I think about the cop that accidentally let his shotgun go off. Like,
right,
maybe they could have resolved it with the FBI negotiators, but
maybe. Who knows, though? I mean,
you just
this guy
accidentally shoot your shotgun into the ground.
This guy, not
it's a rough story.
Yuck! I don't like it. I need a chaser.
Yeah.
You have a good chaser.
What's your chaser?
My chaser is an update on our bird situation. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that we had Marge, our blue jay, that had built a nest right in front of our house. And the update, we have three baby birds.
Three. I only saw
three
two
baby
I
birds.
Came and visited you guys.
Yep, there are three baby birds.
Did that last one hatch?
Yes. Yeah, there are three baby birds, and they are starting to get feathers. Their eyes are closed, but of course, we're going to call them because we had Marge the mom. We're going to have to go with Bart, Lisa, and Maggie as the names of the baby birds.
Okay. So we can... I forget Maggie is this. And I was like, wait, what's the third
stick
one
with
be?
The Simpsons theme. I was thinking there might have been four eggs, but it was we couldn't fully see inside of the nest. But I just looked at it today and there are three birds. It's possible there's a fourth egg in there still. I can't tell. They didn't all hatch at once, but there are for sure three birds because I saw all of their heads and their beaks and they're just like, because their eyes are closed, they're just sitting there with their mouths open waiting for mom and dad to come feed them. It's pretty funny.
They looked so weird when I came and visited you guys and I saw them feeding. It just like, it looked like crab claws. Like, I know. There's no feather on them. It's just grizzling.
They are starting to get feathers really now, cool, though. Yeah. They were little naked birds, but now they're starting to get feathers. So that is the update on the bird condo next door.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's really cool to be able to just walk up because you have those big windows too. You can just look right directly into their nest. It's like you're at a zoo. It's crazy.
I know. It's cool. What is your chaser today?
So my chaser is the Andrew Schultz special on Netflix.
That was good.
Yes, we Life, watched it right? together when I was visiting and looking. Yeah, it's called Life. Right after we looked at the baby birds who just created life in front of your house, we watched this special, and it's about how he struggled with conceiving. Right? Is that the right word?
Yes.
Is that the right terminology that I just use? Okay, yeah.
Yes.
He struggled with conceiving, and so he talks about that in his special, and it's a good mix of, like, because he's a dirty comic, so it's a good mix of like egregious jokes and actual like heartwarming stories. So
he talked about how struggled with infertility and then it came around and how it was,
and we kind of talked about this. I'm not the biggest fan of mixing stand-up with heartwarming stories, but I think he did a good job with it.
He did do a good job. He did. It was really funny. It wasn't just like heartwarming life stories.
I'm kind of in the position where if I'm listening to a stand-up special, I want to hear either funny stories or just joke after joke after joke.
Yeah.
And his wasn't quite like that. It was more of like joke, joke, and then long story, and then joke, joke. But
his stories still had funny elements
that
made you laugh. You know, I mean, I agree with you. I would recommend it. It's a good show.
It's a good show. If you want to, I'll throw in a part two. If you want a good stand-up special, Killbox by Robert Kelly on YouTube. We watched it together. I think you might have taken a couple edibles, but we watched it and it was fucking, it's the best comedy special I think I've ever seen. It's so funny.
If I watched it on edibles, I probably don't remember it.
He wore a leather jacket. He's huge. He's like, well, not anymore. He got the gastric band surgery.
Oh.
But he used to be the size of John Panette or bigger. And when he recorded the special, he was he wore all black and he just looked like a he's funny looking, but
giant SUV.
Robert Kelly, my favorite comedian.
We'll have to check that out
too. Well, that wraps up today's episode. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Go ahead
check
out our Patreon for our exclusive episode that's coming out this week.
Yes.
Yeah. What were you saying? You keep going on to this part.
What?
How do we transition for the, because we're going to do it, put it out as a Patreon, but put it out as.
So let's do an entirely separate recording just like we're doing a whole new episode, and we'll say, hey, welcome to the exclusive Patreon episode.
Well, I'm trying to like figure out how to promote it. So that...
promote it. I would say that it's an we do exclusive Patreon episodes called Happy Hour. Okay. That's how I would just promote it that way.
And go ahead and check out our Happy Hour on our Patreon. We're going to go ahead and talk about some of the newest stuff in the news right now regarding Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Stories. So
exactly.
Check out our Patreon. We've got a little Happy Hour episode coming out. So check us out. Give us a rating on Apple, on Spotify, on send us a DM on Instagram, all that fun stuff.
Definitely. Thanks, friends.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for listening again. Love you, Mom.
Love you, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.